guest that's here tonight. I give honor to Pastor Leonard for allowing me to have a small window to speak tonight. So I promise I won't be long, but I really do feel like that God has a word for us tonight. If you have your Bibles, I would like to turn your attention to the book of Mark, chapter 9, verses 17 through 24. And as you turn there, to give you guys a bit of a precursor, we've been following a series as far as how we should pray and avenues that God want us to pray in. And tonight, our avenue that we're going to talk about is praying in faith. And there's a certain aspect of this that God really wants us to focus on tonight. So if you have your Bibles, Book of Mark, chapter 9, starting at verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which have a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, and they could not, that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And these last two scriptures is going to be our focal point tonight. Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And verse 24 says, "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." For just a little while tonight, I want to kind of talk on this subject. When in doubt, pray it out. When in doubt, pray it out. How about we just lift our hands unto God and just ask him to just visit us in this place tonight. Jesus, we thank you so much, oh God, for the praise and the worship that was in this place. We thank you so much, oh God, for your spirit coming into this place. But God, that you want to give us direction in the spirit. God, you want us to give us direction as far as how we should pray, where we should go, oh Lord Jesus. There's many people that is here tonight that's asking what's next. So God, give us the next step. God, make our hearts and our minds ready to receive your word tonight, oh God, that you would speak unto your church, oh Lord Jesus, that we would gladly receive the word, that we would meditate it, oh God, and that we would have a proper response to the preaching and the teaching of the word tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and let's give the Lord a shout of praise in this place. Hallelujah! 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 Praise your name. God bless you. You may be seated. So, really talking about praying in faith, a lot of times when you hear the word faith, it almost becomes synonymous with anything that deals with religion. That when you hear the word faith, it just seems to have these religious undertones to them. As a matter of fact, you even hear such terms as keeping the faith, or terms as that I'm a man of faith, or I'm a woman of faith. That really, if we were to be honest tonight, it seems that the word faith just kind of gets tossed around a lot. That is very flagrant in the way that it's used. It's almost like the word love. We just use the word love for everything. Oh, I love this place. Oh, I love this restaurant. Or I love, just fill in the blank. It really just seems to get tossed around. And because of that, it tends to lose its meaning. And more so, it tends to lose the impact of what it really means. So it's no surprise that when we live in a culture where the word is just kind of tossed around so much that we tend to have a skewed vision of what faith really is when it comes to God. that a lot of times, because of how our vision is, when we approach God to pray, we approach with the mentality that if I pray, then God will. Now, the problem with this mentality is that it leads us to pray very empty, very hollow, very shallow, and if we were to be honest, very powerless prayers. That our approach to God should be that if I believe, then God can. And there's a difference there, because when you approach God with the mentality of if I believe, then God can, then this opens up a whole new dynamic of the way we can pray and approach God. That when we go to God with the mentality of if I believe, then God can, then it changes what our expectation is and the results of our prayers. That when we pray the other way, it just really leaves us open to be disappointed. Because when you pray the other way, you really just kind of put hope in the act of praying. And you're not really putting your hope in the one who can answer the prayer. So with this being said, we see the story here in Mark, and we see a scenario that I believe that many of us struggle with from time to time. It's because that it's real easy sometimes to approach God with this. It's almost easier said than done to approach God and say, hey, if I believe God can. But here's the great question tonight. Here's the million-dollar question is, what if you don't actually believe? If we were to be honest, I'm pretty sure that everybody has had some point in their life, and there may be somebody here tonight that has approached God. And in all honesty, you just don't simply believe. I'm not saying that you don't believe in God, but are you really believing in what you're praying in? And we look at the story, and we see that in the story that there's a man, and he has a son, and the son was dumb because of a demonic spirit. Now, when I say dumb, I'm not talking intellectually wise. I'm talking about as far as his motor skills. He wasn't able to properly speak and function because of the demonic spirit that was in the son. That the spirit that was inside of him was actually causing him to harm himself, and it was causing the son to really act completely out of order. Now, before we judge the man, because when we look at the Bible, you read in verse 24, it says, you know, can you help my unbelief? And a lot of times we're so easy and we're so quick to judge people that say, I just don't believe right now. Like, can you help me out? I really don't believe. And we're so quick to judge that. But we have to understand where this man is coming from. That you have to think about it, that this man has been dealing with this spirit for a very long time. Not only has this man been dealing with a spirit for a very long time, he's been dealing with the spirit for a very long time in his own son. See, it's real easy to preach to somebody when it ain't in your own house. It's real easy to tell somebody to have faith and believe until it comes home with you. This man, when you think about it, not only did he have to deal with it for a long time when it was in his own son, he had to go home with it every night, wake up with it every morning. You know, this wasn't something that he encountered, you know, on a Sunday or a Wednesday, or maybe it wasn't, you know, something that he encountered when he worked his 9-to-5, but every single day, waking up, going to bed, that this man had to deal with the spirit inside of his son. And so I would imagine that, like any good parent, this man probably sought medical attention. That I'm pretty sure that if anybody had, you know, a child that was dealing with such issues, that they would probably seek what was best for their child. They would probably go see some physician or maybe some sort of psychiatric help to see what all that can be done to save the child. I don't think I would be out of order to say that. As a matter of fact, I would assume that this parent has probably taken his child to church before. That maybe he sought medical attention and the doctors had no answers. Maybe he sought the physicians and the physician said, there's nothing I can do. Maybe he sought psychiatric help and they said, it's beyond our realm of being able to help you. So maybe he took the child to church and maybe he had the elders of the church pray for him. Maybe he put the child down on a prayer list. I'm just kind of updating this to modern terms. Took the child to the synagogue. Maybe he showed him before the priest. You know, maybe this man has prayed for the child himself time and time again. Like any parent would want to for the kid. I'm pretty sure that this dad had invested finances, had invested resources, had invested a whole lot of time and a whole lot of energy to seek a cure for his son. As a matter of fact, I don't think I would be out of order that after all of that, that the man was probably exhausted. That the man has probably reached the point of exhaustion. As a matter of fact, I believe that there's somebody here tonight that has been dealing with a situation, that's been dealing with something in your life, and you've been dealing with it for so long that you've reached the point of exhaustion. Like, it's like, I don't have any answers left. I've tried everything, and I'm at my wit's end. I'm about to lose my mind. I don't know what to do. I'm pretty sure that I'm not the only person that's ever felt like that. Is there anybody at some point in your life you just felt like that? I'm exhausted. If we could just all be honest, like, I'm so exhausted. As a matter of fact, that this man became so exhausted that he just became accustomed to the spirit in his home. That the man has now rearranged things in his house to make it comfortable for the spirit. That the man has now done things to his home. Perhaps he removed things from his home so that the spirit wouldn't cause his son to harm himself. Maybe he added a few extra locks on some doors so the son just couldn't escape and wander off and try to run down to the river and harm himself. Maybe he might have put up some extra padding, maybe rounded some corners, maybe has done everything he can to now make the spirit inside of his home comfortable, because the man is just simply exhausted. The fact of the matter is that not only was this man exhausted, I don't think I would be out of order to say that this man's faith is exhausted. Time after time, this man has prayed, and time after time, this man has reached out, and time after time, this man has invested. How would you feel if you invested day in and day out, day in and day out, and you've prayed and you've cried and you've seen no change? I'm pretty sure you would just be exhausted. That I'm sure there's somebody in here that's been battling something. I really feel like God wants to speak to somebody tonight. Maybe not everybody, but somebody. Sure. That there's somebody in this place that's been battling something for so long that your faith is just simply exhausted. That you've been battling this situation for so long that you've become accustomed to it, as a matter of fact. That you've prayed and cried, and you've prayed and cried, and when you was done praying and crying, you prayed and cried some more. That you've sought help, that you've been invested into whatever the situation may be, and now it's just really become a part of your daily life. That you've just exhausted and say, you know what, if you can't beat it, join it. I really feel like that somebody has reached this point. That this man had become so accustomed to his issue that when he came to Jesus, and I feel like that we do this too, that when he came to Jesus, he said, well, if you can. And I feel like that sometimes a lot of us, that we approach Jesus with the mentality of, God, if you can. Now, we know full well, we know wholeheartedly that Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm pretty sure this man knew full well that Jesus Christ was God in flesh, that he heard of the miracles, that he seen the signs and the wonders, that we as a church, we seen God time and time again. We've heard the stories of where God raised people from the dead, and we've heard stories where God have healed people from cancer, stage 4 cancer, and completely gone. We've heard stories of where God has reconciled families and where God has reconciled marriages, and yet and still there's some times where we can hit a point where we still come to God and just simply say, well, if you can. But here's the thing, it's almost like Jesus immediately spoke back to the guy. If when I read the Bible, it almost seems like there was no hesitation there. Jesus didn't skip a beat. That Jesus told the man that if you believe, all things are possible. That church, we need to understand that in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 13, it says that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. But here's the kicker. The man said, I do believe. And when the man said this, the Bible literally says that he said it with tears in his eyes. I don't think there was any type of malicious intent. I don't think the guy was being sarcastic in what he said. You're like, God, you don't understand. I have invested everything I have. I've prayed time and time again. God, I do believe. I really do. And I feel like there's somebody in here tonight, like, the fact of the matter is, I'm even here. Like, Jesus, I'm here before you. I do believe. I came to church tonight. I've been coming for the past X amount of days. I've been coming for the past X amount of years. I really do believe. I do, with everything I have in me. But the fact is, can you help my unbelief? When you read that, it almost seems like an oxymoron in a statement. Like, how can you say, I do believe? Now, can you help my unbelief? But when I read this, I feel like the guy was actually saying that I do have faith, but I don't have that much. Like, God, I really do believe. God, I do have faith, but I'm exhausted. I've given everything. God, I don't think I got anything left to give. I really feel like that when the guy said, can you help my unbelief? He was really asking for some more faith. Like, hey, I've got faith, but it ain't much. Can you give me some more? Is there anybody in this place tonight? You don't have to raise your hand, but you've been dealing with something and it's pushed you to the point where it's like, I'm here tonight. I'll be honest, I'm here. I had to drag myself here. I've been praying about this. I've been crying about this. I've been fasting about this. But the fact of the matter is, I'm giving everything I've got. I do believe. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. Like, I've got faith. I do believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I do believe that he created the heavens and the earth. And I do believe he has my best intentions. But the fact of the matter is, can you help my unbelief? God, can you give me a little bit more faith? God, I'm so pouring out. I poured out everything. I think if we were all honest tonight, at one point in time, and to be honest, I feel like there's more people in here than not that really feels like right now, whatever the situation may be, I'm exhausted. I'm to the point where I'm just done. But here's the beautiful thing about this scripture, that when we read this, the God basically was asking Jesus for more faith, right? The Bible never says that Jesus laid hands upon the man and prayed for him to have more faith. The Bible never actually says that Jesus spoke a word of faith into the man. The Bible never says that I impart unto you this, that, and the other. The Bible never says that I impart faith and virtue. The Bible never says that Jesus exclaimed this to the man. The Bible simply says that Jesus just performed a miracle. That Jesus performed a miracle on the faith that the man had, and it was enough. God, I don't have a whole lot of faith. God, I'm exhausted. I literally have just this. God, this is all I've got. I've prayed and I've cried. God, this is all I've got for my situation. And God is saying, that's enough. God is saying, that is more than enough. See, what you need to understand is that the enemy has tried to trick us into believing that just because we are exhausted and just because we reached the point where we're feeling like that we don't believe, meaning that we don't have a lot of faith, doesn't mean that the faith isn't enough. As a matter of fact, in the book of Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, and I'm just going to quote some of this. It says that if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Sorry, dealing with technology and move. And it shall remove to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. That the faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now, I've heard this verse so many times. I've read this verse so many times. And you know, I've misquoted this verse every single time. I had no idea until I was reading back over it a little while ago that I've totally misquoted this verse. Because I've always said that faith the size of a mustard seed. That's what I've always said. But I really like the way the King James words it, because it says faith as a grain of mustard seed. So some of you looking at me and saying, well, what's the difference? And just hang with me for a second, that to put it in perspective, when we teach kids, we like to animate objects. If there's a rock, we like to animate a rock. If there's a whatever, we like to animate it, because it helps the kids understand the situation that whatever this object is in. And so for this purpose, if we were to animate this seed, that the mustard seed had faith as it is. And what I mean by that, I don't think God was saying that if you had faith as small as a mustard seed. Basically, he was saying if you feel like you're a mustard seed, come as you are. As a matter of fact, if we were to animate this mustard seed, if this mustard seed walked up to Jesus and said, here I am, God, this is all I am, this is all I got, Jesus said that within that mustard seed, you have enough power to move a mountain. As you are. And here's the thing, mustard seeds aren't actually mustard seeds, they're mustard trees. What God was really saying, that you can come unto me at your lowest point, and you have enough power at your lowest point to move a mountain. Now, to illustrate this point a little bit more, a mustard seed is usually about 1 to 2 millimeters in diameter. If we were to take the tallest mountain in the world, being Mount Everest, it sits at a whopping 8,848 meters high. That would mean that if this mustard seed came unto the Lord and said, this is what I am, this is what I am right now in the current state that I am, that Jesus said that you have enough ability and enough faith within yourself to move something that is 8,848,000 times greater than yourself. So what am I saying at this point? I'm saying that if we were to compare that to us, because we're not mustard seeds, we're a lot bigger than mustard seeds. I think we kind of skew the vision a little bit. Because if God will move a mountain for a mustard seed, what would he move for us? Because here's the thing, and just hang with me for a little bit, that if we were to compare this to the average human, let's just say the average human male was 6 feet tall, and we were to use these same numbers, 8,848,000 times greater than us, then that would mean that we would be able to move something that is over 10,000 miles wide. To give you a perspective of what that means, from the diameter of the earth is only over 7,000 miles wide. It's just under 8,000 miles wide. That you at your lowest point, that you yourself at your lowest point, when you feel like you have absolutely no faith, that God is literally ready to move the world for you. That God is more than able to move a mountain for a mustard seed, but God is literally ready to move the entire world for you. That you're coming to God and saying, God, I have this situation. God, I've exhausted everything. God, I feel like I don't have anything left. And what God was saying, what you have left is enough to change the entire world. What you have left is enough to move everything on earth. And I can only imagine that if God was able to do that for one person, what can he do with a church full of apostolic people? I believe that if we all came to this altar tonight, and if every last person was broken and at their lowest state, but if we began to pray to God, that the ripple effects would literally could be felt throughout the galaxy. That God would move every single planet, that God would move every single comet, that God would move every single asteroid, that God would literally move the sun, that he would move the moons, that he would move everything in our galaxy. Just to see the prayer being answered. At our lowest point. I don't even want to do the calculations when we're actually high on faith. Because then it would be a whole lot different. That you can literally come to God as you are. That you can literally come to God at your lowest point. And God is saying that is more than enough. That if God is willing to move the world for you, what's cancer? That if God is literally willing to move the entire earth for you, what is a financial situation? What is a lost loved one? What is a wayward child? What is a job situation? What is brokenness? What is a healing? What is that to God if at your lowest point he's willing to move the world for you? This is nothing to God at your lowest point. And some of you are saying, well, Brother Jamal, that's all good, but really, I'm going to be honest, I ain't got no faith. Well, to be honest, I ain't going to call you a liar, but that is a lie. Because Romans 12:3 says, for I thought through grace given unto me, and I'm really just going to go down to the bottom part. It says, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Basically what that verse is saying, when you feel like that you ain't got no faith, that God has given everybody some faith. That everybody has a measure of faith. But really what God is looking for is for somebody to exercise and to step out on the faith that you have now. That God is just looking for somebody in your brokenness, in your confusion, and your hurt, and your pain, in your exhaustion, to step out on what you have right now and to watch a miracle. But here's the thing, you say, but Brother Jamal, I've been praying about this time and time again. I've been seeking the face of God time and time again. Well, the issue is, how have you been approaching God? Have you just been approaching God to, you know, with the aspect of the act of praying, just because I'm praying? God should answer, or the fact that, you know what, I don't have a whole lot of faith, but I do believe, and the fact that I believe God can, that's more than enough. That no matter what you think of yourself tonight, no matter what you're going through, that everybody has been given a measure of faith, that it doesn't take a whole lot of faith, that God isn't asking for this extreme demonstration of faith. He's just simply saying, come as you are. That's God's word for you tonight. Come as you are to the altar. Come exactly as you are to the altar in your brokenness, in your confusion. Because here's the thing, if you come with what you have, God will make up the difference. That if you come with what you have, God will give the increase. Not so much that he would give you the increase, but that God can do the miracle. It'll be like somebody walking into the Ferrari dealership with $2 and being able to buy a car. Like that. That's the mindset behind this. We know that $2 is nothing compared to the price of a Ferrari or a Maserati or a Rolls Royce or just one of these high dollar cars. But that's the mentality that we should have. That I'm just going to step out on what I have and believe that I'm going to receive what God has for me. That time and time again, I've been broken. Time and time again, I've been confused and I've been exhausted. But I think that it's time that we all, as we stand tonight, because I promised that it wasn't going to be long, and that we allow God to do the work. Whatever your situation is, whatever your problem is, God is saying, here's the altar. Whatever you've been dealing with, whatever you've been bringing to God, God is saying, here's the altar. And some of you are talking to God and saying, God, I ain't got nothing left. God, I'm exhausted. I really don't feel like I'm praying in faith, to be honest. But God is saying that faith is enough. The fact that you're here means that you still believe. The fact that you came here tonight means that you're still seeking. The fact that you showed your face tonight meaning that maybe, just maybe, God can do the work. Maybe, just maybe. But I'm telling you that it's not a maybe. That if you come with what you have, that if you come as you are, God is going to make up the difference. But come with the mindset that, God, I believe this is all I have. This is all I got. This is all I am. Well, God, can you do this? Can you do the work? And God is saying, yes. Give me your brokenness. Give me your crumbs. Give me your hurts. Give me your pains. Give me your exhaustion. God is saying that if you give me your exhaustion.